the outer epithelial layers. He proceeded to a shower and washed the ash off. When he finally reached the dressing room, he found green uniforms. Another physical. This time they wanted samples of everything. Sputum, oral epithelium, blood, urine, stool. Finally, he was brought back to Stone and the others. Stone said, "We have 6 hours on this level. That's protocol, waiting while they do the lab test on us. So we might as well sleep. Down the corridor are rooms marked with your names. Further down is the cafeteria. We'll meet there in 5 hours for a conference." Delta Sector was the designation of 3 rooms on level 1 that contained all communications facilities for the wildfire installation. All intercom and visual circuits between levels were routed through there, as were cables for telephone, teletype from the outside. The trunk lines to the library and the central storage unit were also regulated by Delta Sector. In essence, it functioned as a giant switchboard, fully computerized. The 3 rooms of Delta Sector were quiet. All that could be heard was the soft hum of spinning tape drums and the muted clicking of relays. Only one person worked here, a single man sitting at a console surrounded by the blinking lights of the computer. There was no real reason for the man to be there. He performed no necessary function. The computers were self-regulating, constructed to run check patterns through their circuits every 12 minutes. The computer shut down automatically if there was an abnormal reading. According to protocol, the man was required to monitor communications, which were signaled by the ringing of a bell on the teleprinter. When the bell rang, he notified the 5-level command centers that the transmission was received. He also required to report any computer dysfunction to Level 1 command should that unlikely event occur.
"Time to wake up, sir."
Mark Hall opened his eyes. The room was lit with a steady, pale, fluorescent light. He blinked and rolled over on his stomach.
"Time to wake up, sir."
It was a beautiful female voice, soft and seductive. He sat up in bed and looked around the room. He was alone. He reached over and pushed a button on the nightstand by his bed. A light went off. He waited for the voice again, but it did not speak. It was, he thought, a hell of an effective way to wake a man up. He pushed the nightstand button again. The voice said softly,
"Do you wish for something, sir?"
"I'd like to know your name, please."
"Will that be all, sir?"
"Yeah, I believe so."
"Will that be all, sir?"
He waited. The light clicked off. He slipped into his shoes and was about to leave when a male voice said,
"This is the answering service supervisor, Dr. Hall. I wish you would treat the project more seriously."
Hall laughed. So the voice responded to comments and taped his replies. It was a clever system.
"The voice," said the supervisor heavily, "belongs to Miss Gladys Stevens, who is 63 years old. She lives in Omaha and makes her living taping messages for SAC crews and other voice reminder systems."
"Aha," Hall said. The cafeteria was almost deserted. Levitt was there. He said the others were in the conference room. He pushed a glass of dark brown liquid over to Hall and suggested he have breakfast. "What's this?" Hall said.
42-5 nutrient. It has everything needed to sustain the average 70-kilogram man for 18 hours.
Hall drank the liquid, which was syrupy and artificially flavored to taste like orange juice.
"Okay, let's go to the conference room, Stone.